This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Later on Building Bridges, the health insurance racket, getting rich by denying Americans care. But first...
Days after a judge found Stella Doro Biscuit Company guilty of labor law violations and ordered the company to reinstate more than 130 workers on strike since August, Stella Doro's owners, Brynwood Partners, announced that it would close the plant. The union charges that the decision to shutter the plant is in retaliation against the workers' strike and has filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board to block the shutdown and force the company to reopen negotiations.
Last August, Stella Doro workers refused management demands for wage cuts by as much as $5 an hour and slashes in health and pension benefits, and they have waged a militant strike which has received tremendous support from New York area unions and the community. We're joined by Joyce Alston, president of Local 50 of the Bakery Workers Union, and Mike Filippo, shop steward, and Eddie Moreto, foreman of the bakery department. And I'm mad as hell, and I don't want to take it anymore because I was cheering crazily when I saw in the papers the NLRB ruling my brothers and sisters after being out for a year effectively. They are back in, and I can eat Stella Doro again, but not hardly. Good God. What in heck's name was this company about? How dare they? I'm mad as hell, and I don't want to take it anymore. So that should be the opening for you folks. And I don't know, maybe we should start with Joyce. The company is going to shutter their doors after this arduous, meaningful, and dignified strike. Joyce?
How are you?
Hi, it's good to have you with us. So tell us what the company is actually up to.
Well, right now, since the ruling from the administrative law judge, we received a mailing from the employer that was the return to work. And also at that time, they gave us what they call the 90-day warrant notice, notifying us that in 90 days they were also going to close the plant. So as far as we're concerned, we believe that that move is illegal, that they are doing it to circumvent and get away from the union and the ruling itself. So what we've asked the National Labor Relations Board to do is to, we've requested that they ask for an injunction to stop them from closing the facility.
Mike, the rumor is it that a North Carolina firm called Lance Incorporated may just buy the name and produce cookies in non-union plants. I mean, I don't know who in New York would buy those cookies, but what's your reaction to that?
Well, we actually, our plan is for Stella Doro to stay in the Bronx, not in North Carolina. It's the landmark of the Bronx, and we want the plant to stay in the Bronx. So we didn't like the idea, like somebody else buy it and send it to North Carolina, and no union, especially not union company. So we tried to do anything possible, people who supported us, to stop that kind of deal. And actually, we heard that deal went off last week.
Eddie Marrero, in case people don't know all that you folks went through, and this was one of the most united strikes, no one crossed the picket line, and it was freezing. I told you as we were getting ready to come on, my mittens haven't thawed out from some of those cold days that you folks were on that picket line. I mean, what does all this mean for you as workers to have been out, to have then, wow, a victory finally, and now to be facing this closing, which of course you will fight, but what does it mean for the workers?
It's very upsetting. You know, it's being, like you said, being out the 11 months through a harsh winter, hot summers, and thinking we won this battle and to going back to work and then just to hear the company saying that they're going to shut their doors in 90 days. It's just like at first we had tears of joy when we heard the good news, and then we go in there and now we, you know, practically the tears, they turn into fear now. You know, families, now people are thinking, you know, what are we going to do if this happens? it's a shame. It's we're just praying that it doesn't happen, because there's a lot of people there that need to, you know, count on this job. They've been there for many years.
What about you? How long have you been on?
I've been there for 30 years.
30 years.
30 years.
And Mike, you?
I've been there only 15 years.
Oh, excuse me, 15.
Only.
Oh, God.
You know, everything that I've accomplished has been through Stella, sending my son to college, buying up my home, vacation times. I mean, I owe this all to Stella Doro, everything that I've done in 30 years. And for this just to be demolished, it's a shame. I would like other people that have been there, like, for example, Mike, that's been there 15, complete his time, and people that have been there for 10 to complete their time and get what I got out of it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's everybody's holding their breath and just, you know, basically praying that this doesn't go through. And Stella Doro stays there like it's supposed to. It's a landmark. It's been there for almost 80 years.
Well, we're hoping for another buyer to come ahead and keep the Stella Doro in the Bronx. Not only like Lance, who want to move it away, we're hoping to stay in the Bronx.
You know, what we're trying to do, because, I mean, you know, obviously that when the decision came, all of our members were ecstatic. All of our supporters were very happy. But we, from the very beginning, never lost sight of the fact that this employer, just based on their attitude throughout the negotiations, we didn't believe that they would just sit down and take the decision, that they would be coming up with some sort of plan to try to circumvent or get around the decision. So that was not a surprise. But I can tell you that the local is in for the long haul. We were there at the beginning. We're going to be there to the finish. We intend for this not to happen. It has to send a message to corporate America that they just cannot, for the sake of profit or the sake of increased profits for their shareholders, that they can destroy the lives of the people who built the very company that they are talking about. And we've got an enormous amount of support. Our members have been strong from day one. They continue to be. Obviously, there are concerns, but a lot of people have stepped up, our international union, our politicians. There are a lot, just our community people who are there for us from the beginning. This fight is about all working people. Stella Doro started this. It started because of Stella Doro, but it's a fight that should have been taken on a long time ago. But it's here now. The unions are here with us. And I think that, you know, we're going to take this to the finish line. I mean, it's our intention for Stella Doro to stay in the Bronx. We are looking for other buyers. We have numerous options, and we're going to exercise all of them.
Joyce, part of the NLRB ruling was that the company wouldn't release its financial records. They were claiming that they couldn't make a profit and pay good wages and benefits. Have they released the records now? Are they planning to?
What has happened, our attorney made an information request from them, and they did write him back. They want now a confidentiality agreement. They requested some language from us, which we sent in to them. So the impression is that if we get this agreement, that they're going to relinquish all of the information that we're requesting, at least most of it. But with this company, it's hard to tell. I'm pretty sure that they're going to release some, and then there are going to be others that we believe we are entitled to that they'll probably take a position that, you know, they don't need to. So, you know, we're going to have to deal with that as it comes. But they're going to have to release some of it. And if they don't release things that we believe they need them, when we'll go on and file another complaint or another charge. We're not going to let them get away with not providing us with the necessary information we need to move forward. We're not going to allow that.
You know, it's interesting, though, like, you know, figures are very subject to manipulation, or if you will, they're in the eyes of the beholder. I can just see them releasing information about the last 11 months where they used a staff. They used scabs who essentially had none of the qualifications and experience to manipulate, to run the plant, as, of course, my sisters and brothers who were out during those 11 months did. So I always wonder what it really means to get that statistic out, because they're always going to say they don't make enough profit because some of it, forgive me, some of it is going to maintain the health benefits and a wage that, frankly, should have even been better for our sisters and brothers who were the bakers there. So aside from, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, Joyce.
Well, you know, you're 100% right. But the accounting firm that I have asked to, you know, work with me on this, they are very,
very thorough. They're very good. Mm-hmm. They know what to look for. They know the loopholes, you know, and that was one of the reasons why we said from the very beginning, if you release the information, there has to be supporting documentation, because just to say that this is what your commodities cost, well, I want to know what commodities you purchased. And mm-hmm. it should be a breakdown of those items. And you can verify that from the vendors. You know what I mean? So we are prepared to really be thorough. We have no intentions on allowing them to, you know, to manipulate or you know, have missing information. We are going to be very thorough. And I think they realize that now. I
mean, what about a co-op, by the way? What about the possibility of running the plant as a worker cooperative? Is that also one of the things that might be on the table?
Well, it is one of the ideas that a few people brought to our attention. And the only issue about having a co-op, it's not as simple as people think. A lot of times when employees, if you're an employee company that makes a lot more hourly money, then that's an easier thing to do, because now the sacrifices that you have to make to go in business aren't as evasive. But when you're at $18, $19 an hour, that becomes much more difficult, because obviously there are tremendous things you have to do to make this co-op successful. We are not believing at this point that that is the best route for us to go. We would prefer to have a buyer that wants to invest in this company, invest in this community. And, you know, we're obviously the union is willing to work with them to do things to help them do that. But at this point, a co-op may not be the best choice mm-hmm. on the table. It's not. We're not going to eliminate anything at this point.
Eddie, it's been a long time since I've seen a strike take the kind of catch the imagination of New York City. Everybody knows Stella Doro. So, I mean, would this be, if this was a buyout, if the partner's firm were able to sell it to some firm and get rid of the Bronx workers, you think New York City people would buy Stella Doro products? Would this be a good investment for them?
You know, I don't think that, you know, I'd like to believe that whoever buys this company will come in and make it with the intention of making a viable business. If a company comes in with the intention of destroying this business, we're not going to stop. I mean, we're going to go where they go. We're not going to let the public think that that's still the Stella Doro cookies that our members built. Our members built.
We think, like, if and we're going to, that boycott is going to continue going. If they're going to do that, it's going to continue going for a long time. And people who supporting us, they growing and growing every day. And nobody's going to buy Stella Doro cookies if they do that, especially
in
New York.
We believe that most companies are watching equally as well. And I just, you know, you can never say never about this business anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't, not with these folks. As a matter of fact, one of the things.
This is nationwide.
One of the things I want to get back to, because then I remember the folks coming down with the, you know, successful strikers from, or plant occupiers from the Republic Windows and Doors, who also came in to show their solidarity. So this has resonated. It took 11 months for it to do so, but it resonated with the hearts and minds of people of conscience and the working class within this city. And really,
nationwide.
And
you
across
know,
the nation.
The word is out nationwide.
So, but I want.
We've gotten emails and letters of support and phone calls from, you know, some of the sisters in the United Kingdom that I have a relationship with through labor has, you know, notified their unions, and they have some tremendous unions over there also. So it has taken on a life of its own, not just in the United States, but all over the world. We've gotten emails from Guatemala. I mean, they're. It's been a tremendous amount of support coming in from everywhere, because the Stella Doro story is the story of most working people in manufacturing today.
And it's certainly the story of Mike, and it's the story of Eddie, and I want to get back to that. And again, see, Eddie talked about what he's been able to do as a worker with his family after 30 years. I just want to remind people, again, what people like Mike and all the other workers during that 11 months, what they really sacrificed and what was at stake for them.
we first of all sacrifice our salary, which is we used to make a decent living, our health. For example, I went 2 times to the emergency room. I never went to the emergency room in my life till now when we started the strike, and then we have no benefits. So I had to go to the emergency room. I have bills now close to $5,000 from the emergency room. We sacrifice a lot. Our family's we can't provide what we used to provide for our families. It's not the same thing when you're working and when you live on unemployment to provide for your family. So our families get hurt actually the whole time.
So Eddie and Mike, what do we have to tell the public listening to this? How do we support you, and where do you go from here?
Well, stay focused on listen to the news, and it's 90 days. We got 90 days, and we're baking our cookies. And I can that boycott right now, you can purchase it because we're baking the cookies, but just be aware if this does go through, that just forget about Stella Doro. I
better stockpile those cookies right now because okay. I won't go near them afterwards.
And another thing we want to say to our supporters is to call the NLRB and talk and to Celeste Martina and tell them the status of the process. What is the status of the process? So this way we can put some pressure to them and go on the injunction we have in the labor board.
It's the New York City Regional Director, Labor Relations Board Regional Director, Celeste Martina.
Right.
I would say that the Stella Doro people have made the ultimate sacrifice for all working people. And hopefully when people are home or in their jobs or maybe going through a situation like ours, they realize just what these people have done for them. And I can say as a president of a local, I am truly proud to have been in a position to represent people that in some of the toughest economic times we've seen in years, that they had the courage to take this on because they know, as all of us should know, that we have to stand up at some point and fight to maintain a decent standard of living. And they've done that. And I think that people are going to be with them they've been there from the beginning, and I think they'll be there throughout. This issue is resolved.
Mike Filippo and Eddie Morero are pillars of progressive struggle on behalf of the working people who create all the wealth, not to mention the good cookies. What was that slogan?
No contract, no cookies.
No contract, no cookies. No plant with the workers, no cookies. So we're still there. Again, Mike Filippo, shop steward, and Eddie Morero, foreman in the bakery department, and Joyce Alston, president, Local 50 of the bakery workers. Thank you for setting the pace, for the dignity, for the courage. You're going to be there, and I know somebody else's kids who are going to wind up going through college after the many, many years.
I'd like to give a shout-out to all my brothers and sisters in Stella Doro
right,
for standing strong,
okay.
And we are going to win this. We're going all the way with this.
Stay on your toes.
No contract, no cookies. It's still a good slogan.
Thank you for being with us.
Bye, Joyce.
You'll be back.
We love you,
right,
Joyce.
Thanks for allowing us to tell our story.
You got it.
And now, Sick for Profit by Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films. What does UnitedHealthcare CEO Stephen Helmsley have to lose if Congress passes real healthcare reform this year? Well, for starters, his nearly $750 million in unexercised stock options might lose a few pennies on the dollar. What does Isabella, a four-year-old girl in Wisconsin who is physically incapable of eating and has to be tube-fed for her entire life, have to gain from health care reform? The treatment she needs to live a normal life. The health care racket getting rich by denying Americans care.
The CEO of United Health Group, Stephen Helmsley.
Profits these insurance companies are making, folks, absolutely, they are obscene.
I'm from Watertown, Wisconsin. We've lived in the city of Watertown for about 6 years now. I have three daughters. My oldest daughter is Adriana, she's 10 years old. My middle daughter is Kennedy, and she's 8. And my youngest is Isabella, she turned 5 in April. Our world was pretty much turned upside down in a matter of minutes to us finding out that we would have a critically ill child who had not just one, but multiple life-threatening disorders was just mind-boggling. At that point, ear infections were the worst thing in the world. We were told initially that the paperwork was lost. A couple weeks later, we were told by United Healthcare it was denied.
The big winners in this broken healthcare system, let's look at who they are. The CEO of United Health Group, Stephen Helmsley. His salary, $3.2 million.
The incredible gross profits of the private health insurance industry that is at the core of the problem.
A few years ago, I think the president of United Healthcare made so much money that one in every $700 that was spent in this country on healthcare went to pay him. So.
Did you hear that?
Pretty striking. It's pretty amazing.
They just got a little gasp out of those folks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're pulling
it apart. We immediately appealed to see if we could get, you know, the coverage that we needed. And our first appeal was denied. Bella was continuing to suffer through very painful G-tube feedings to the point where she would actually try and rip her G-tube out of her stomach because they hurt her so much. She was to the point where she would literally look at a spoon and vomit. And we would have to, my husband and myself would have to hold her so that she wasn't swinging at us. And I also really felt that it was United Healthcare's responsibility to pay for it. We were told no so many times. It was just, it was incredibly frustrating. If they didn't pay this one-time cost, she was gonna suffer.
Profits these insurance companies are making, folks, absolutely, they are obscene.
He was 6 months old. We were at the pediatrician and he mentioned that Dylan would probably need the Doc Brand helmet to correct the plagiocephaly. And if he didn't wear this helmet, then he could potentially have issues eating. 2 months into the treatment, we got the denial letter from United Healthcare saying that they weren't going to cover it. They viewed the helmet as cosmetic.
Why are we putting money into the profits of insurance companies rather than into medicine?
My name is Steve Helmsley, and I'm the president and the chief executive of United Health Group. Our mission at United Health Group is to help people live healthier lives. And our more than 80,000 employees do this every day for more than 70 million Americans.
My entire colon ended up getting large and pretty much dying, and with no explanation, they did several tests. And after my second surgery, and that's when they had to put me on the IV nutrition. Everything I ate just came straight through and was not being absorbed. That's why I had to have the TPN to keep me alive and to keep hydrated even. They kept telling my local pharmacy who was providing the TPN, oh, we're just waiting for one more letter, or we're just waiting for one more script, and then we'll start paying. This went on for 6 months, and December 4th, both the pharmacy and I received a letter through United Healthcare saying that they deemed it medically unnecessary and that they were not going to pay any of it. I tried to explain to them that if I do not have this, I will die, and the only response she gave me was okay.
The
Government officials are actually calling this the biggest health insurance scam they have ever seen. The victims are patients, in many cases, very sick patients.
To live in a society that would allow the CEO and higher executives of United Healthcare to make $750 million in stock, it's disgusting.
It was also very frustrating to know that they made that money off the backs of people like me.
Where is all that money going?
I can't imagine the kind of house he has or houses.
Behind all those numbers are real people.
I don't know how in the world you call yourself an insurance health care giver. It's just ridiculous.
Stephen Hemsley, how are you able to sleep at night?
About how to modernize our healthcare system.
Here's what's going on.
They're now being driven by Wall Street.
Cancel your coverage.
He says it's not in their best interest.
Now, the suit was brought by a number of institutional
shareholders. Has this ever happened to you? You go to a doctor.
Allegations of unfair insurance reimbursement
criminal.
Rates.
That's right, criminal charges.
See frequent evidence.
Woe to anyone who gets between them and the profits they reap from sick people.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.